This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the March 21st, 2014 podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Spine. My name is Natalie Pinchem, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. The topics covered in this week's podcast are the cervical, lumbar, and thoracic spine. The characteristic clinical symptoms of C4 radiculopathy caused by ossification of the posterior longitudinal ligament. A case report by Keiichi Katsumi and colleagues. The present study reports a rare case of C4 radiculopathy caused by C3 to 4 foraminal stenosis due to a beak-type ossified posterior longitudinal ligament. This 41-year-old man suffered from sleep disturbance because of pain behind his right ear, along his right clavicle, and at the back of his neck. The Jackson and Sperling tests were positive with a pain radiating area behind his right ear. In contrast to patients with radiculopathy involving the 5th through 8th spinal nerves, this patient had loss of upper limb motor function. Magnetic resonance imaging showed foraminal stenosis at the C3 to 4 level on the right side, and multiplanar reconstruction CT revealed a beak-type ossification of the posterior longitudinal ligament in the foraminal region at the C3 to 4 level. In the absence of intracranial lesions or spinal cord compressive lesions, the positive Jackson and Sperling tests and the C3 to 4 foraminal stenosis were indicative of isolated C4 radiculopathy. Microscopic foraminotomy was performed at the C3 to 4 level, and the ossification was resected. The patient's symptoms completely resolved immediately after surgery. The authors conclude that pain behind the ipsilateral ear and neck pain radiating to the clavicular region are characteristic of C4 radiculopathy. Incidence and risk factors for acute kidney injury after spine surgery using the Rifle classification. A clinical article by Biken Naik and co-authors. An ever-increasing aging population with multiple comorbidities is undergoing major spine surgery. These procedures can be associated with significant blood loss and hemodynamic instability. The risk of developing acute kidney injury following spine surgery is reported to be between 0.8 and 0.9%. This reported incidence is based on non-standard definitions of acute kidney injury. This retrospective study was performed to identify the incidence and risk factors for acute kidney injury using the risk, injury, failure, loss, and end stage, or RIFL, classification. The secondary aim was to develop a model to predict postoperative glomerular filtration rate based on preoperative risk factors. 726 patients over a 5-year period met the inclusion criteria of the study and had a complete data set. Of the 726 patients, 3.9% developed acute kidney injury as defined by the RIFL classification. In this 3.9%, 3.2% were classified in the RIFL risk category, while 0.7% were classified in the RIFL injury category, based on a 25% and 50% diminution in the glomerular filtration rate, respectively. No patient developed failure or required renal replacement therapy according to the RIFL classification. The only risk factor associated with developing acute kidney injury in this study was preoperative hypertension. By applying a more uniform definition of acute kidney injury, the authors have demonstrated a higher risk of postoperative renal dysfunction in multilevel spine surgery than previously described. Repeated adjacent segment degeneration after posterior lumbar interbody fusion. A case report by Shinya Okuda and co-workers. One of the most important sequelae affecting long-term results after posterior lumbar interbody fusion is adjacent segment degeneration. The purpose of this report was to describe one case of repeated adjacent segment degeneration after posterior lumbar interbody fusion. A 62-year-old woman with L4 degenerative spondylolisthesis underwent L4 to L5 posterior lumbar interbody fusion. At the second operation, L3 to L4 posterior lumbar interbody fusion was performed for L3 degenerative spondylolisthesis 6 years after the primary operation. At the third operation, L2 to L3 posterior lumbar interbody fusion was performed for L2 degenerative spondylolisthesis 1.5 years after the primary operation. Vertebral collapse of L1 was detected 1 year after the third operation, and the collapse had progressed. At the fourth operation, 3 years after the third operation, vertebral column resection of L1 and replacement of titanium mesh cages with pedicle screw fixation between T4 and L5 was performed. Although the patient's symptoms resolved after each operation, the time between surgeries shortened. The sacral slope decreased gradually, as well as the lumbar lordosis. Although each posterior lumbar interbody fusion achieved local lordosis at the fused segment, lumbar lordosis decreased gradually due to kyphosis of the cranial adjacent segment. The authors conclude that a decrease in sacral slope and lumbar lordosis may be one of the major risk factors for adjacent segment degeneration after posterior lumbar interbody fusion. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. Comments on this podcast can be sent to JNSPodcast@thejns.org.